Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are considering an allegiance to God's Word by studying Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11. In this session, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 to 18, the provision of the Lord. As I've indicated in each session that we've looked at so far, we will be reading the entirety of Genesis chapter 1 through 11. And so we will look at that for this chapter as well, our background of Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 22. But I'd like to begin by saying, look at the world. There's a preoccupation with physical appetites, rapid advances in technologies, overly materialistic interests and attitudes, distorted devotion to pleasure and comfort, no concern for God, either in belief or conduct, a disregard for the sacredness of marriage, rejection of the inspired Word of God, widespread violence, corruption throughout society, preoccupation with illicit sex, widespread blasphemy of God, organized satanic activity, and abnormal depravity. What a world it is. But what world was it I just described? Not our world today, but the world at the time of Noah. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 26, down to verse 37. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who's in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed, and one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together, the one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field, the one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? So he said to them, Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The context is very clear that Jesus is talking about the last days, using Noah's time as his illustration. Just consider the situation. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And now it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. They were giants, on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. There were primarily three theories regarding the identity in this passage of the sons of God. One is that they were wicked rulers who had sexual relations with commoners. Another is that they were the holy Sethite clan who had relations with the unholy Cainites. And then the third is fallen angels and mortal women. This last one is my view. And why is that? Well, first of all, it's the plain meaning of the text. And it makes the most biblical sense. And also, it explains several other passages. Satan was condemned by God in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Through some of his fallen angels, he attempted to destroy the channel through which the Savior, the seed, as it was mentioned, would come by man himself. This explains some angels in prison awaiting their ultimate judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Also Jude chapter 6, or Jude verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Those fallen angels invaded man's domain. But then you say, well, but Mark chapter 12 and verse 25 says that angels do not procreate. They don't make babies. It says in Mark 12:25, for when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. In heaven. That's the key. In heaven. The ones that remain faithful to the Lord. But it doesn't say that they can't in a sinful, fallen state. Listen. Angels ate food in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 8. When Jesus, in a pre-incarnate appearance, a theophany, a Christophany, came with two other men, and they came as three men to Abraham. In Genesis 18 verse 8 it says, so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and they stood by them under the tree as they ate. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. So angels ate food like humans. Angels were attractive to the Sodomites in Genesis chapter 19 verse 5. And they called a lot and said, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them carnally. And then angels can appear as humans, as mentioned in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Any other view than angels must explain men. The contrast in verses 1 and 2, and also explain the giants of offspring in verse 4. And then consider God's response to the world's sinful state, verses 5 through 10 of chapter 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He'll destroy everything except Noah, because he was a just man, perfect, who walked with God. Verse 22 of chapter 6. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. The same is said in chapter 7 and verse 5, in chapter 9 and verse 16. Peter called Noah a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. One of only eight saved. 2 Peter 2:5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And Noah is also prominently listed in God's Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah's ark is a picture of spiritual protection in Christ. It was mentioned often by Isaiah in chapter 54, verse 9, by Ezekiel in chapter 14, verse 14, and verse 20. In Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 4, and by Luke in chapter 3 and verse 6. Jesus himself, in Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39, referred to the ark while speaking about the end times. Listen, don't let anyone tell you that the flood of Noah didn't happen. Consider the next verses. And consider four points about God's plan with Noah. First, God gave his reason for destruction. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God told man to fill the earth, but he didn't tell him to fill it with violence. In 1 Peter chapters 3 and verse 6, it's recorded that God followed through on his word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So it's because God keeps his word that we trust him. Second, God gave his design for construction. Verses 14 to 16, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. It was made with rooms on three decks. It was made of airtight gopher wood and tar pitch. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, with a window and a door. And 8 people were saved when they went in through that door, and God closed that door. John chapter 14, verse 6 lets us know that there's only one way to salvation. It's God's way, through His door, in His way of salvation, through Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Noah's Ark is a picture of salvation from God's wrath against sin. A salvation entered through the door of Christ by faith in Him. Noah demonstrated great faith in building a boat in a world that had never seen a flood or rain before. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. The second part of it says, "For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth." Up to that point, there had been no rain. And then third, God gave His plan of punishment. Verse 17. "And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die." Noah built the ark in faith that God would fulfill His word. And he preached to a totally corrupt world for over 100 years that God was going to destroy them. Let me tell you something. That's obedience right there. When the flood finally came, all were without excuse. The Lord has given the gospel message to us as well. Are we as obedient as Noah was, preaching faithfully for over 100 years that God was coming to destroy because of their sin? And then fourth, God gave His promise of salvation. Verse 18. Down to verse 21. "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring 2 of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds, after their kind, of animals, after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth, after its kind, 2 of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." A covenant of salvation. God would save Noah and his family, 8 in all. The number of new beginnings, the number 8. 7 is the number of completion, perfection, and 8 is the number of, in Scripture, of new beginnings. He's going to save Noah and his family from his wrath upon the earth. All they had to do was enter the ark by faith. They had to trust God by faith. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." in Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, let me ask you, is this the Christian experience that you have? Are you saved? Did you enter by faith, putting your trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life? If you haven't, you need to do it today. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge that you deserve God's punishment for your sin as a rebel. With conviction, confess that you believe Jesus died for you and that he rose from the dead and he can give you victory over death. And then reach out and ask him, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you do that? Do that today. Have your eternity sealed and escape the wrath to come. You have a great day.